The Delaware Bay has long been recognized as a vital stopover point for migrating birds to fuel up on horseshoe crab eggs and other food sources. But University of Delaware researchers are digging down a little lower on the food chain, as WHYY's Mark Eichmann explains.
Professor Jonathan Cohen's team is taking a census of zooplankton in the Delaware Bay.
We study these organisms, these zooplankton that are the larval stages of crabs and oysters and shrimp. And they're also organisms that are just in the water column, things like copepods that are sort of this, like a SpongeBob evil plankton character, these copepods. No one has really looked at that group of organisms as a collective group in Delaware Bay since the 1950s.
Four times a year, the UD team visits the same 16 spots in the bay, collecting samples from just north of the Delaware Memorial Bridge to about 5 miles out of the mouth of the bay in the Atlantic Ocean.
So we take those and we pour them onto a scanner that makes an image of the whole plankton sample, and then we use computer software to determine the identities of the individual species and their sizes within that large sample. And so we get very quickly a big fingerprint of that sample.
That scanner is similar to one you find in an office, but it analyzes water instead of paper. After the scan is complete, the computer monitor flashes with hundreds of pictures, identifying the species of zooplankton and their size.
So now you're starting to see the objects come up. So all of those are little copepods. It's a fish larvae. It's a jellyfish.
This research hasn't been done in the Delaware Bay since the 1950s, when another University of Delaware researcher, Joanne Daber, did the first study. Cohen's been amazed by the resiliency of zooplankton over the past six decades.
One of the biggest surprises was just how similar the bay is from station to station to what was present in the past. There are some differences, of course, but I was really struck at how similar the species assemblages were, the abundances were, and sort of how things map out to historic species locations.
That similarity in results over the decades testifies to the resiliency of these tiny creatures, even in a waterway that's endured decades of pollution.
So there's a lot of work to be done still to restore the vitality of this bay so that we can benefit.
That's Tim Dillingham, the executive director of the American Littoral Society, which advocates for the health of coastal areas like the Delaware Bay. We talked along the Morris River near the Society's office in Millville, New Jersey.
And the Delaware estuary is a recovering estuary. It was really polluted, had suffered a lot of insults and injuries over the last 150 years. We've taken some steps to recover it, to improve the water quality, but we've also allowed a whole new set of threats.
Professor Cohen agrees with the need to keep working to protect the bay and its smallest inhabitants.
Certainly still concerns, but I think if you look from the past, it's going in a good direction.
Cohen's study is also looking at how zooplankton are affected by climate change. With warmer temperatures and increased precipitation, the creatures will reach adulthood at a smaller size. That could be bad news for species higher up on the bay's food chain. From the Delaware Desk, I'm Mark Eichmann, WHYY News.